Hi, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's your brother, your cousin, your nephew, your friend, your guy, Omo Kings. And welcome to the Struggling Young Christian Podcast. It's a podcast that delves into the lives, real life challenges, struggles, triumphs experienced by young people. And we're here to just have conversations about the things we struggle with every day, the things we go through in our everyday life as Christians. And this is what we're here to talk about today. And I've got my brother, a young, aspiring, young brother, bro, Jonathan in the building. Hi, Jonathan. How you doing, bro?
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me as your first guest.
Thank you very much for coming.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, you can adjust that.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's the first... the start of the Struggling Young podcast.
Yeah.
So what really inspired you to start this podcast?
So the Struggling Young Christian podcast pretty much was inspired by my personal struggles as a young Christian. I mean, I didn't really have that template. I really didn't have... there was a point where there was just a disconnect between me and the generation ahead of me. And most of the things I struggled with, I probably would not have struggled as much if I had someone to talk to, had someone to show me the ropes, how to navigate certain life issues as a young person. And I feel like for that reason, I thought it was necessary for me to start something very related to young people. And I've been someone who's been very, very involved in youth ministry for a very long time, even though I had like a bit of a break, but it's been something that has been heavy on my heart for a very long time. And the Holy Spirit has been on my neck about starting this podcast. And remember when I first told you about this podcast last year? I mean, we said so much about it.
It's been a long run now. Yeah,
we really get it started. But I mean, it's such a joy to be able to actually get to doing this in 2024. And I'm sure that God has a plan for somebody watching this podcast,
amen,
somebody
amen.
Going through something, somebody going through the struggles as a Christian. And by God's grace, we hope that we can talk about things that would help you improve your relationship with Christ.
Mm.
And by God's grace, that's what we're here to do.
Amen.
So to get started, the topic for today that we're going to be talking about is we are looking at New Year resolutions. So we're looking at, we titled the topic today, New Year Resolutions Reimagined, Faith Centered Goals for the New Year. I know New Year resolutions is something that has been used, bashed so many times. What's your idea of a New Year resolution?
New Year resolutions are kind of goals that people set to improve on themselves. And I believe a lot of people set New Year resolutions based on what they should have achieved before. And as they're setting it for this year, it's a way of boosting themselves and saying, okay, you know what, Jonathan, you were meant to go to the gym 5 times in a month, but you didn't. But this new year, you will do it. Or maybe it's not something you've been doing, but you feel you know you have to do it for your growth, be it personal, be it financial, be it spiritual, whatever it is, but you know you have to attain it. But yeah, for youth, it's a very big struggle because we are not consistent.
Oh, absolutely. I think also New Year resolutions, I mean, with the beginning of every new year, it's the beginning of a new season. And many people always have that mindset of, oh, trying to start new habits, trying to maybe give up bad habits, or trying to set a challenge for themselves that would set them up for a great year. And in itself, New Year resolutions are great to do, but I think the struggle is keeping up with it and dealing with being able to be disciplined to stay true to your resolution. So the first question I want to also ask as well with the New Year resolution, and I want us to tie to faith and Christianity, is do New Year resolutions really matter in our spiritual growth?
Yeah, they do matter. They do matter. There's it builds a lot of faith. You know, Jesus speaking to his disciples tells them about the mustard seed and how little it is compared to the other seeds. Jesus tells them how little it is, and that a man plants this seed in his farm. And with time, when it goes and grows, it's able to have enough branches for other birds to come and perch and stay on it. So, Jesus speaking to disciples was telling them about faith. Faith is something that means for that mustard tree seed to have grown to a tree, there was watering, definitely, there was exposure to sunlight,
definitely,
there was good environment for it to grow, spread its roots, take enough roots downwards. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
To be able to bear fruit upwards. So another thing is you sometimes we have a lot of impatience. We don't want to build something and go. We have our social media, we have our phones, you're binging, you have a message, you want to do this, you want to do many things. So there's no, you don't want to build to do something. You're just like, oh, if I didn't get it in 1 week, 2 weeks, let me get to the next. Yeah. So the more you keep doing a little of this, a little of that, you don't come up with something consistent at the end of the day. So really, it helps in a Christian life because it helps you build faith. At the end of the year, if you had a personal New Year resolution and you're watching this, and maybe by last year, by this year, you want to do something, and or let's say last year you wanted to do something. You should tell us in the comment section how you felt by the end of the year when you noticed you did it.
Yeah, that's another area I think we should actually touch about, and which is personal experiences with New Year resolutions. As a young person, what sort of New Year resolutions have you made before, and have you been consistent with it? Which ones did you achieve? Where did you fall apart? Can you tell us some of those resolutions you've made in times past?
Yeah, previously I had resolutions some 2-3 years ago to read my Bible. But it didn't work out. But last year I'm like, okay, you know what? I wouldn't just do this by myself. It's not by power or by might.
Oh, definitely.
So I had to pray to God and, you know, God help me. And then the Holy Spirit gave me inspiration. Get materials of people who have done it. And then I got a hard copy and I started flipping page by page, day by day. January goes by, February goes by, March goes by. I'm like, this is getting real. And then it starts to have flavor and taste in your life. And then an amazing thing what happens is the Holy Spirit being so amazing is you read a verse and then during the day, you know somebody talking about it and know it's not a coincidence.
That's so true because what you just said now is something that I actually did for the first time in my life as a Christian last year as well too. It was the first time I actually read the whole Bible in 1 year. You use the hard copy. I use the soft copy, the U version app, and I went on one of the devotional plans on there, I think Bible in 365 days. Mm-hmm. And it was like you said, it was something I tried to do for so many years before that. Yeah. Like I probably will read and then maybe by like January or end of January or February, or even sometimes there's a year I did it up to like March, April, and I fell off. And, but last year, I was able to keep it consistent, like day in, day out, read the Bible. And just like you said, each of those scriptures actually guided my life, my daily living last year, in my daily walk, the scriptures I read actually were like compasses for my day, helped me deal with issues that I was facing in the day.
Yeah.
It could be maybe a psalm that I read that day or something I read in Proverbs. And the way that plan was structured is, so a part of the plan would be like from the Old Testament.
Yep.
Then another maybe 2 or 3 chapters from the Old Testament, 1 chapter from the Psalms, one or two chapters from the New Testament, and a verse from Proverbs, and it was spread like that across the year. And every time the Word of God was just literally a lamp onto my feet and a light onto my path last year. And that was one resolution that I was able to stick to last year. Another resolution again I made last year was to improve my physical health, by obviously going to the gym, which I mean, I fell off at some points. I'll be very honest, and this is the struggle. This is the struggle.
This is the struggle
we're talking about. Like, and we're very honest here. We keep it honest. We keep it 100.
That's right.
I mean, but in hindsight, when I was looking at my gym app and I looked at the amount of times I spent in the gym, I was impressed because never have I ever done that. So what other New Year resolutions did you make last year that you kept stuck with?
I had a resolution, but not by the start of the year, by the end of the year.
Great.
To go to the gym. and not waste my subscription. And not waste my subscription. Funny thing is, this time if you go to the gym, it's full, fuller than ever before.
Oh, definitely.
In January, they make money.
Statistically, the gym is always full in January.
Yeah.
And then by third week, fourth week, early February, it's back to normal again. And it's normal.
Yeah,
it's normal. Yeah. Like, and everyone, I think it's a buzz for everybody to have that New Year resolution to want to lose weight, to want to do different things. But sustaining it is where the struggle is, the discipline. And that's another thing I kind of also want us to talk about today, the discipline part of keeping to New Year resolutions. I feel like discipline is one very important aspect of the Christian life.
Yeah, yeah.
We are called to be set apart from other people, and that's the difference between us as Christians. And basically, the definition of a Christian is being like Christ.
Being
and
like Christ.
If we are like Christ, Christ was not your he was a normal guy, but he didn't do things the way normal people did things. Like, he was different, and he was clear. And that's why God has called us apart as well. Too, he brought us out of darkness into his marvelous lights. And that he wants us to live our lives a different way. And one of the ways that this clearly distinguishes us from the people in the world is discipline over our flesh. And how would you say you have been able to exert discipline over yourself as a young Christian?
I like the fact that you reminded us of what it means to be a Christian. So Christian is gotten from the word Christ, to be like Christ. To be like Christ, be in the image of Christ. The scripture says we should have the same mind that Christ Jesus had. So in this situation that you are in, what would Jesus have done? What would Jesus do? What is Jesus telling you to do? And we see through the life of Jesus, him always speaking to people saying, carry your cross, bear your cross.
Definitely.
Means it to come with sacrifice. So being like him comes with sacrifice.
Definitely.
You have to lose some for a greater thing. He might not tell you that greater thing as of now, but just know that it's a life of sacrifice.
Oh, definitely. I absolutely agree with you. The life of a Christian is a life of sacrifice. We have been called out of darkness. We are not allowed to do the things the people in the world do. We are not allowed to consume the things they consume.
Yeah.
Because one of the things the Bible tells us is to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. Right. And we also know that we live in a very perverse generation nowadays, and everything literally around us is designed to make us trip, to make us fall from grace. And so it's quite a struggle. And this is why we're here having these conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
And but then that's another aspect again of this Christian walk, that God has given us one major factor, which is grace.
Yeah.
Grace to stay strong in our resolve to be like Christ in our everyday walk. And in those things we struggle with, we have grace from Christ to overcome
temptations,
overcome these weaknesses as well too. So another question I was going to ask you is, what insights would you share with the young people watching and listening to us right now on how to set faith-based goals for the new year?
Yeah, like the point I was building on earlier on, to set faith-based goals, it's important we understand it wouldn't come easy. Leave that at the back of your mind. But it's worth it. Just like maybe the last exam you had in school, you had to wake up, read, put aside your phone, put aside one or two things because you needed the good grades. For the driving lesson you had to do, you had to go for extra lessons. You had to pay money, do this. It cost you something because you wanted that license at the end. That is it with the walking, your faith walk, your Christian walk. You have to die to self. You have to die to self to become a better person that Christ can use. Christ wants a renewed and a transformed vessel for his kingdom. So as Christians, it's important that first of all, we have that mindset that our mind has to be transformed. Romans 12 says, do not conform to the pattern of the world. It means the world has a pattern.
Definitely.
There's a pattern, there's a standard, there's a culture that the world is trying to impose. But you, with the help of the Holy Spirit that is inbuilt in you, should be able to discern that, okay, this pattern is not helping me as to where God wants to bring me. And then it goes on to say, well, be transformed by the renewal of the mind. So as I was giving his example earlier about reading the Bible, you could tell that the more you read the Bible, the more your mind is renewed. And when you see these events happening in the day during your life, there's this renewal that your mind has. And it happens only when you spend time with him. You read your Bible and you pray. Read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray. Fast. As God gives you the grace, add fasting on it. Keep pushing, keep pushing. And bit by bit, you see yourself change 10 days, 20 days, 30 days. And you see yourself becoming a better person. So we have to know that it comes to sacrifice because we are doing it for that person who has bought us at a cost.
Definitely, bro. Thank you very much for that, Neil. You hit something on the head right now. And I also want to reflect back to how I set my goals as well too. Like one of the first things I do, so I set my goals in for the new year and my resolutions for the new year in chunks and in different like aspects of my life. First of all, the first thing in my life is God. Like God takes preeminence over everything I do. So I set goals regarding to God, like what are my spiritual goals for the year? One of the first things that's been a very common theme in my goal setting is to improve my relationship with God, really. Like, I mean, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And I know there's more in Christ. The deeper you get in Christ, the more you want to know more, because there's really never an end to it until we conform to the image of Christ. It's a daily transformation process, like you just explained. And so in my daily life, one of the first things I set is improve my relationship with God. And how do I do that? Then I now put action steps. So the action steps will be pray every day, study my Bible every day, meditate on the scripture, midnight prayers, like you said, fasting and prayer when God gives me the grace to, witnessing, doing God's work as well too. And I tie this to the so many things I have to do in the kingdom, concerning my ministry, my personal ministry, for example, like you all know, my worship ministry, this what we're doing right now, my media ministries, which has started right now. And definitely I set all those goals, and then I go to personal goals, which will be like from a physical standpoint of view, like things I would want to do, like become more fit, go to the gym maybe 3-4 times a week. I set those type of goals. I set resolutions about eating healthy, like maybe cutting down on fast food or cutting down on fizzy drinks or cutting down on sweet stuff. And I set those type of goals. I set goals regarding like mental health, like reading, going for walks, set all type of goals regarding my personal life, set goals for family life as well too, set goals for my business, set goals for my career, my music career and everything around my life. And like we all know, there's always a struggle, and it's the execution of goals is where the problem really lies. And by the grace of God, we just have to stay disciplined. We have to stay disciplined. And discipline is, I feel like discipline is like that secret sauce to helping us achieve our resolutions. I feel like as much as the human body naturally resists change, the human body naturally does not want to get out of its comfort zone. And and when you are pushing yourself out of the comfort zone, there's always that natural resistance to it. But discipline is what keeps you going even when you do not want to go. And that's why I was having this conversation with a friend the other day, and I told him, like, we're talking about Sunday morning dew and have I been able to stay consistent. And what I told him, I said, is discipline. I've just had to just discipline my mind. So regardless of whatever it is I've done.
No, you have to do this.
I know on Sunday morning, I have to wake up to do this.
Watch out.
It's Sunday programmed morning, in my brain.
I'm a king.
It's programmed in everything I do. And I do that. How do you get to do that in your personal life? Discipline yourself, especially when you find yourself sleeping. How do you discipline yourself to stay focused on your resolutions?
I've noticed myself slouching and slacking a lot of times. I learned to just pray, give it to God. So like I mean, I didn't finish building my point earlier on, but I was speaking about being transformed by the mind and knowing that it comes with sacrifice. Another thing is even knowing that those goals that you want for the year are sponsored by God. We have to be honest, you won't come with your carnal goals and then tell God to help you through it, whereas that's not what He wants you to achieve for that time. Say you want to do something for the world and God wants you not to do it, obviously, because it doesn't benefit His kingdom, or that's not the route He wants you to take for that period. And then you ask Him to help you, and when He doesn't, you start complaining. No. So it's important that you ask God first, if, all right, God, these goals, I'm dedicating it to you, and, you know, give me the go ahead. That's one major thing. And another thing is, scripture also tells us a little sleep, a little slumber, means there are possibilities for you to sleep, and then the enemy will come and creep in. While men slept, the enemy came to plot. So there's consistent alertness from us that is needed. Constant alertness. Constantly, we have to be awake. Constantly, no room for such. And then if you notice you're always, you know, you get carried away, you know, get phased away, get too angry, just be aware that that could be the enemy trying to sow some seed of, you know, mind bending and trying to make you lose touch of what's happening. And what I do when I start something, I've noticed the issue is not starting something. To answer the question, the issue is not starting, but in the process, you slouch. That's when you need the grace of God to have been consistent in His things and be praying and be fasting. So when you hold on to that, God shows Himself, He gives you mercy, and when God gives you grace, you even keep pressing more and more to help you continue. Because like you said, it's normal for the flesh of man to want to stay in its comfort zone and not want to improve, want to change its state.
Definitely. I absolutely agree with you. And I absolutely agree with what you said about the will, searching for the will of God. And that's another major lesson I had to learn last year as well too. So at the beginning of last year, I had such lofty plans, big plans. And then I spoke to one of my spiritual mentors, and he asked me, he said, "Amo Kings, yeah, I understand you have these big plans, but is this the will of God for your life?" And it hit me like a big blow, because, yeah, a man has his own ways, but God's ultimate plan would always still prevail. And one major thing I've learned as well too, I think somewhere in the Bible, I can't remember exactly, like, our best plans, no matter how good your plans are, do not compare to God's worst plan for you. It's still greater than your best plans for yourself. Yeah. And sometimes we tend to always plan things by ourselves and just forget that there was someone who actually made you in His own plan, in His own will, who had the blueprint for the life that you live, that is already written down, And then you're planning. So which ties to the point, like, sometimes we may even have resolutions about things that are not actually in God's will for our lives. So
in God's will.
So young people listening, one of the major things I think I want us to take home from this conversation today is, are our resolutions in line with God's will for our lives?
Yeah.
That's a big test question that we should always, even first of all, start asking ourselves before we start setting our resolutions for the year. Like, are we making resolutions that are in line with the will of God? Like, I feel like that's the ultimate litmus test for whatever resolution you have. So if maybe your resolution is to travel the world, or your resolution is to, I don't know, be more friendly, be more, whatever it is that your resolution may be, if it does not align with God's will for your life, then I feel like you're already setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest things we should take away from this is making sure that as we're setting our goals, as we're setting our resolutions, that ensure to be in line with God's will for your life at all times.
At all times. At
definitely.
All times.
It's really key. It's really, really key to be in God's will at all time. And what do you have to say about that, Jonathan?
Being in God's will at all time. Yeah, it's easier said, but it's not always easy to do, because if you don't have boundaries, if you don't create boundaries that this is how things should go there, and you have the wrong people around you, you can easily fall off. Psalms 1:1 says, Blessed are those who walketh not, standeth not, sinneth not, sitteth not among the sinners, the scornful, and the mockers.
Absolutely.
So one thing we have to watch out for as youths are your entourage. If you have an entourage that doesn't help you grow, they'll find a way to water your Christian faith down, and you live in that state of complacency and not grow.
Definitely.
You live in that state of complacency and not grow. So your environment matters a lot. Definitely. What you feed yourself with in terms of literature, in terms of audio, in terms of movies. We spoke now about reading the scriptures as a plan for the year, and everyone has a testimony. I mean, everyone who told you that they read the scripture for a year or for whatever period with the good intentions to know Christ and to strengthen their convictions in Him will definitely have witnessed a spark or a change positively. In that same way, if a scripture can impact you that positively, that means other sources and other materials from which you don't know the source can have a play on you.
Absolutely.
So it's very important we learn to filter. Even Jesus speaking to his disciples says, "These words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So words can come beyond how good the music or the tune sounds, beyond how good that book can be, beyond how good the person you're speaking to may look. We have to be able to test every spirit, discern. So one thing is discern, and one thing is be very selective with those around you. And that way you will see growth and improvement and betterness.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as we also look at more insights again about setting goals. So we've talked about being in the will of God.
Yeah.
We've talked about being in an environment that also encourages growth. We've talked about the things you allow into your spirit, what you read, what you watch, what's the people you hang out with, the places you go to. These are also things that also affect how you set your goals and how all these things pretty much impact your Christian growth. And definitely these are things we need to watch out for. One other thing I think is necessary for us to talk about is what sort of resolutions, what areas do you think will be great for a young person? What type of resolutions do you think will be ideal for a young Christian to make, especially to improve their walk with God and become better Christians? What would you, as a young person, what would you suggest?
So yeah, as Christians, we are called to be like Christ and obey his commandments. One of the principles he gave in the book of Luke was prayer. It says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Means if you are not praying, you are fainting.
Definitely.
And means there is a possibility for you to live a fainted life if you are not praying.
Definitely.
So one major thing is for us to pray, not just waiting for a group of people to come together before we pray, but have a personal life of prayer with him. Mark 11 speaks about a great while before morning, Jesus went to the mountaintop to pray all alone. And then his disciples will come later and look for him. They won't see him. And then suddenly they see him walking on water, doing miracles.
Yeah.
Why? Because he had had a commitment to honoring his secret place with his Father.
Definitely.
Who was in heaven.
Definitely.
So that's one thing. You start the year, you have to pray. It's in the place of prayer that clarity will come.
Definitely.
Refining for that new resolution that you've had will come.
Definitely.
Who that friend around you is, who that job that you've applied for is going, what to expect, outcomes of certain things, the great to intercede, the great to be more clear in certain things, to be strong even in that weakness that seemed like you would have never been strong into. Trust me, prayer does work. So be very strategic about it. It's not just talking and saying, all right, I pray on Sunday with my church. It's good, but they're not enough. Yes, the scripture says, forsake not the gathering of the brethren.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But then, your personal time with him also matters. He
Absolutely.
Wants to speak to you personally, talk to you and know some certain things. So be strategic about it. You can say, all right, every 2-3 days, I will carve out this time. I'll wake up earlier than I normally do. Give him 20 minutes, 10 minutes, I read the words. Start. If you feel, oh, I've run out of what to say, how about you pray with the scriptures? You pull out this verse, this, your
this
word says
say.
This.
Yeah, absolutely.
Though my beginning may be small, my latter end will greatly increase. Lord, my business is small at the moment, but your word says this. And as you honor your word, as your word is great, you pray on it and you would see something. It will be a spark. It will be a feedback from the realm of the spirit start from somewhere and just keep going, just keep going. And no one will tell you you'll be able to even grow larger and be able to accumulate more things and even help people.
Absolutely, bro. Just to add to what you just said, so building a prayer habit is also like working out and building muscles.
Yeah.
No one goes to the gym the first day and benches 150 kg. Nah, you can't do that. But as you go, you start, even if it's, even when you start from 10 kg, from 10, you grow to 15, yeah. From 15, you start growing to 20, 20 to 30, and on and on. And pretty much is the same thing with prayer, a prayer lifestyle where, at the point where I started taking my prayer life more seriously, like I could barely pray for 10 minutes at some points when I started. But as I kept at it, I noticed that I was improving. Like the times where I spent 30 minutes praying, there are times where I've spent an hour praying. And like you said, there are times where sometimes you may actually run out of words to say, but then that's where the Holy Spirit also makes intercession for us when you pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost, or pray with the Word. And there's so many ways to pray. And I believe imbibing the culture of prayer as a Christian is one of the greatest things you can do as a Christian. They say a prayerless Christian is what? A powerless Christian. So
no power.
as that saying goes, it's if that's one major resolution you can make this year, I feel like that would be one of the best things you can do for yourself as a Christian. So what other resolutions would you also suggest for a young Christian apart from prayer?
Yeah. But let me just add something on the prayer part. It's important that as we are praying, we don't insult other people and say it's not about time. No. Time matters. Intimacy matters. If you have commitment for something, you will spend time with it.
Facts.
You like your video games. Nobody will tell you you would spend time and play your video games because it's something, there's a longing that is there.
Definitely.
There's a satisfaction you get from that video game and you want to spend time there. The scripture says, my sheep know me and they follow me.
Definitely.
For you to be a sheep of the shepherd who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there has to be proximity.
Absolutely.
You have to be close to be able to hear that. All right, Lord, what are you saying in this season? Where am I going? Scripture also says, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. So there's something about tarrying. There's something about staying. So maybe at this point, there is more you know you can do rather than sitting down and insulting people and saying, why are they doing more? Just ask God for grace for something to be able to learn to love him more. And when he does that, you notice you won't insult people anymore because there's something you're getting, there's satisfaction that you're getting from that commitment in being in the presence of God.
Oh, yeah.
That there are no even words to describe it. So it's important we don't bash people and say, oh, no, it's not about time. No. Let's be guided. Now, another thing. So we've spoken about the resolutions as Christians.
Yeah.
We've mentioned reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible. Staying in the will of God.
Staying in the will of God.
Prayers.
Prayer. And another thing I can say is, I mean, I spoke about it before, but maybe we'll just speak more about it. Entourage. Who are those around you, your surrounding? Because you can do all of that and the bad company will corrupt the morals. They will deflate you.
Definitely. Just like the parable of the seeds where a seed was sown in around bad seeds and those seeds choked the good seed. So definitely who you are around as well too is a very, very major factor. That actually was one of the resolutions I made in the year 2022. And I made a very conscious effort to be intentional about who I was around, who I let into my life, who had access to me, and I'll be very honest with you, it was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. Before anybody comes into my space, before everybody comes into my life, I vet you in the spirit. Like, like God just has a way of opening my eyes to discern people that are coming into my life. And one of the things I'm super grateful right now, especially in my life, is for the people I have in my life, the people I have around me, the people that are there to me, and everybody in my life right now is of value.
That's right.
Immense value to me. And I am really grateful that the Father really taught me that lesson and helped me make that resolution and stick to it. Absolutely. That's a major one. And thanks for raising that one up. Yeah. What other faith-based goals would you encourage a young person to have for this year?
Another faith-based goal is to guard our hearts, guard ourselves with due diligence. Guard our hearts. What are the things we listen to? Earlier on, we spoke about, we gave our examples, of how we started, how God helped us to start reading the Bible. And seeing how when you read the Bible, there is something, there is a feedback you get from God that, okay, this thing you're doing should go this way, this way, this way. If the Bible, you know, can have the effect, that means things we feed ourselves with every day, the music, the content, even the comedy, can become from a polluted source. So it's important we test every, scripture says, test every spirit. So that thing you're feeding yourself with, that thing you're always listening to, ask yourself the source of it. Is this thing edifying me or is it bringing me down?
Definitely.
Is it a content that when you rub your mind with every time, you go back and you're still struggling with lust, you're still struggling with rage, you're still struggling with impatience. There is no self-control, there's no tolerance whenever you listen to that rap music, you know. And you know that that artist, he always has funny lyrics. I mean, for me, my own personal experience, I had that with a particular rapper. He seemed to be good and all, speaking about philosophical things, but when you listen to him every time, I won't call his name. And then, but when I go read the Bible, I'll go and be very controversial on every single thing, contradictory on everything that is thrown on me, just because I've been listening to somebody and he has come with the host of all those spirits and then pour it in you, and you think it's just vibes and psychology and all. But as simple as it is, you can say it's just music, it's just sound. But we have to be discerning that thing, that place you always go to, that friend you always visit. So it's important that this year we are very strategic with the things we feed to us, to ourselves, to our ear gate, to our eyes gate, that book you're reading, that comic book you're reading every time, or that novel you're reading. It might be harmless. It might look harmless, but is it really harmless? So ask God to be able to, you know, open your eyes to discern that thing you're doing. Does it help?
Absolutely. On the point of what we consume, and this also ties to, apart from what the virtual things we consume, like media, music, movies, also what we eat in our bodies as well. So we should be intentional about the things we eat, like
food.
Like you are a product of what you allow come inside of you. Whatever it is that you allow come inside, whether it's through your mouth, through your ears, through your eyes, whatever you smell, whatever you feel, these things come in and they shape us in ways we do not know. They shape us sometimes into what God does not want you to be. And we have to be very, very, very cautious. The Bible says, guard your hearts with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issue of life. The Bible says, also Jesus said that a man is not corrupted by what comes into him, but what comes out of him. And the truth is, the mind and the human body is like a computer. What goes in comes out. If the more of God you let into you, the more of God comes out of you. The more of the junk you let in to come into you, the more of the junk you release out. So one of the resolutions I would encourage every young person watching now, listening now, to imbibe this year is to be very conscious of the things you listen to, the things you watch, the amount of time you spend on social media, the amount of times you listen to trash talk or whatever it is. Even some of the podcasts we tend to watch sometimes can be polluting. They might be interesting. There's definitely going to be the banter. There's going to be everything that may seem important to us. But at the end of the day, how does that tie to your spiritual development? How does that tie to your spiritual growth? Another area, again, I also want us to talk about is another resolution I think as young Christians we can imbibe this year is to also help spread the message of the kingdom and build God's kingdom by being witnesses of the gospel to the world out there. And just like I'm quite shy to go out there to evangelize, but there's so many ways right now we can evangelize. We can evangelize with our social media. We can evangelize with our music, with art, whatever it is that you have to spread the message of the kingdom. And it's one of the biggest commandments Christ gave us, to go into the world and preach the gospel to everyone. And that is the ultimate assignment. And adding that to our resolution this year, I believe that will be an amazing thing to add to your resolution list, to say, Father, this year I want your light to shine through me to people. Yeah. I want to be that light for you to the world out there, to spread your word to people in the way I live, in the way I talk, in the way I dress, in the places I go, in the things I do, and just be that light for Christ into the world. And the Bible says we are living scriptures, we are living epistles, that sometimes many of your friends do not even get to read the Bible, but they read you, and you are that scripture that they read, and the life you portray speaks volumes of the Christ you claim to serve. And if you're preaching the wrong message, you are doing Christ a disservice. So my advice and my plea will be for us to live lives that is representing Christ in the right way. We are ambassadors of Christ even into the world we live in. We live in a very, very dark world right now that is so confused. There's so much confusion out there. But when you live your life the right way, you can be that light for the person who is in darkness. And the Bible says there's joy in heaven over a soul that repents, and there's reward for you as well too, for winning souls. So when you go out there in your lifestyle, in everything you do, even with the media thing, whatever it is that you have been blessed with, use it for the purpose of the kingdom, to bring people. This is exactly what we're trying to achieve here as well too, with this podcast, trying to help struggling young people who are Christians, even those who are not Christians, to understand things that they're dealing with, that we've dealt with as well too, and we can help you deal with them to live a better life for Christ, my brother.
Yeah, scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work. So after the prayer, after the fasting, after the consecration, after the commitment, you've gathered off enough spiritual momentum, I'll say, be a light to someone. Allow God to use you as a vessel.
Definitely.
To be a blessing to someone. It could be material. It might be to give somebody something. It might be to give your time, but it has to be given. For God to love the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that giving, sometimes it will cost you something. If God himself could give his only begotten son, sometimes it might be you giving that thing. It's also important that we balance, that we don't give emotionally. And when the spirit doesn't lead us, you won't go empty your bank account and say, whatever. We have to act, you know, circumspective as wise. But it's important we are led by the spirit to know when God wants you to go and preach to someone. Tell them about your devotional of the day.
Yeah.
Tell them about a testimony that may boost them up. Sometimes they might even reject you. It won't make sense now, but in the future, they might come and say, oh, that thing you told me about the other day, it's working. So drop a seed. Allow God to use you to drop a seed in someone's heart. Give somebody your time. It can be just a listening ear. Everyone keeps dodging that friend or that colleague at work. And God say, today, go and listen to that person. Listen to their trash talk and talk to them. And then from there, the person gets closer. And then that's it. They get to know Christ. So it's important we're discerning and be able to let our light so shine so that people will see the good works. And at the end of the day, the end goal is to glorify
God,
the Father.
Definitely. You touched on something very important that I really want to reiterate. And you talked about giving, saying, for God so loved the world that he gave.
Yeah.
God was only able to give from a place of love. So, which is another point I really want us to touch on, love. Love is God's nature. Love is God's character. And we cannot say we are of God if we do not love. Love is such an important factor in the life of a Christian. Like, it's one of the biggest fruits of the Spirit. Like, and if there's anything you should do this year, after all the prayers, after all the reading the word, you should move from a place of love this year. Love for God, love for people, love for the world, and let love lead you. this year, love for your family members, love for your colleagues, love for your friend. Let love lead you in everything you do this year. Let love lead you. Let love lead the way you think. Let love lead the way you act, the way you behave, the way you carry yourself.
That's right.
The way you move from a place of love. And when we're talking about love, we're not talking about like erotic love. We're talking about the God kind of love, the agape love, the Christ type of love, where He loved us so much that he could give his only begotten son for our sakes to set us free from sin.
Mm.
So this year, one of the things we would advise you to be able to do this year is to move with love. Move what other love. Thing would you suggest to any young Christian listening
move
to
with
us?
Love. So far we've mentioned being strategic with our prayer life.
Being strategic.
In the new year, you've not read the Bible, you could decide to start from somewhere. Use the YouVersion app, 365-day daily, you know, Bible chapters. Go through it steadfastly. God give you grace as you do. So we've spoken about prayer. We've spoken about reading the Bible. We've spoken about loving, allowing God to use us so
Definitely.
That this gospel will spread at the end of the day, like what we're doing now by his grace. And another thing, I think we spoke about the ear gates, what we consume.
Definitely, what we consume, definitely.
Yeah.
What we allow into us.
Now, yeah.
The media we consume, the music we listen to, the books we read, the environment we are in, the people we associate with as well too. That's very, very key. And I definitely believe God has something in store for us this year, especially us young Christians. And I mean, keeping to our resolutions can be such a struggle.
Yeah.
I've been there and I know we all deal with this. The issue of discipline, staying disciplined with the things we've said we want to do is a very major issue. And we just need to stay focused on the assignment. We just need to stay focused on the plan and stay committed to the things we have set our minds to do by the grace of God and to his glory. We will achieve them.
Amen.
I mean, it's
Amen.
Been a great time of conversation. It's been a great time talking today. And thank you for also coming today, my brother Jonathan.
Thank you.
I mean, like
we've been
talking about this podcast for so long, and to be able to finally do
now.
It,
it's
just been an amazing blessing. And Jonathan, I must say a very big thank you to you as well. You've been one brother that's come into my life, and you've made a very big impact to me as a person, to my ministry, to my business, to my family. And I'm grateful for the gift of you, Jonathan. And I'm grateful to also our viewers and our listeners, wherever you may be
grateful
around the world.
Too.
This podcast is for you. This podcast is our safe space where we talk about our struggles, really. We talk about our challenges. We talk about our doubts, the things that, I mean, we're confused about. We also come here to talk about our triumphs, like the things we're doing well, because, I mean, it's not all the time like we give ourselves the stick. Sometimes we have to also big ourselves up and tell ourselves, well done for what you're doing, and then work on those things that we need to do better on. And that's the journey of the Christian, literally. Like, our goal is to keep getting developed until we become the image of Christ. That's our ultimate goal, to become like the image of Christ. And like he said earlier on, being Christian is being like Christ. So Christ is our ultimate goal. Being like Christ
what
is our
Christ
ultimate goal.
Do.
And this is what this podcast is really about. Like, we're here to reflect Jesus. We're here to point you to Jesus in your daily life, in your daily walk. That's our assignment here. And we hope you've been blessed by this podcast. As always, my name is Omar Kings, and it's always a joy to be able to join you, to be able to bring this message to you. And I also want to encourage you to please subscribe to our YouTube channel at the Struggling Young Christian Pod. Follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok. We're everywhere in the digital space. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode by the grace of God, God willing. And I want you to have an amazing day.
Have a nice day.
That your lights, keep shining the light for Christ. Keep shining your lights. We love
Be
you.
Mean.
Peace. God bless you.
God bless.
Soft House Production.